KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you now. We glorify your name. We praise you, God. We ask that you would touch us today. We thank you for what we've felt thus far, Lord. We thank you, Father, for our experience in you. We ask you, Lord God, to just help us to press our way so that we will become one in your spirit. Lord, if we become one on one accord, then you can do what you want to do in us. Father, not just in this place, but in our lives, in our families, in our communities. Father, we thank you now. We thank you for your power and your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for just waking us up this morning and giving us another day. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the greatest Father that we could ever think of and that we could ever have. Father, we thank you right now that you've given me clarity of thought and precision of speech. And thank you for the anointing that you've given me to preach your word. And Father, we thank you for the ministers and the members that are here today, that you would anoint them with the gift of hearing, that they may hear what the Spirit of the Lord saith unto the churches. Father, we thank you now. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers, cures, cleanses, and connects us to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. And we thank you for the word of God that strengthens and sustains us through all difficulty and all things in life. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your peace and power. We thank you for saving. We thank you for delivering, for healing, for setting free. We thank you, Lord. If it had not been for you on our side, where would we be on today? We thank you, God. You're an awesome God. You're mighty. You're wonderful. You're magnificent. You're glorious, Lord God. There is none like you, Lord. We've searched all over the heavens high, the valleys low. And Lord, we can't find one that compares to you, Lord. There is nothing, no thing that we can think of, Lord, that's worthy of praise other than you, Lord. No one, there's nothing that we can think of that's worthy of worship, because you are the most worshipful God. And we thank you, God. We give you glory now. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for looking over the celestial banisters of heaven and pouring us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done. And Father, after you've moved on us and touched us and shook us up a bit and blessed us and helped us and encouraged us, convicted us, whatever you do, Lord God, we thank you. But Lord, after you've done that, Lord, we'll be careful to give you glory, praise, and honor. And we will join in with the many winged seraphim and the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Want to use for a title, a tag on this Father's Day, on this message this morning, but I want to use a good man. A good man. What is a good man? If a man can't pray, I tell you, that's a sad man. We ought to learn how to pray and to pray. We may not all pray the same way, but it's important that we what? Pray. So David goes on, and let's move on because I don't want to be too long here, but we get to verse number, we get down to verse number 23. But when we, on the way there, I want to point out something. On the way to verse 23, he says that a wicked man borrowed and don't pay back. Ooh-wee. And he tells us that the wicked borrowed, don't pay it again, but the righteous show mercy and gives. A good man gives his all. A good man says, here's what I have, and I'm able to help or to sacrifice. I'm sacrificing, and sometimes our sacrifices are not known. Our sacrifices are gone unnoticed because some things we do, we're not doing it because we just want to do it. We're doing it as a sacrifice for someone else. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a good man, he likes to be praised at some time. He wants the same thing, as Bishop Jake said, he wants the same thing that you give your sons. You praise your son about whatever he do. So guess what? The good man wants the same thing. All he wants to do is to be recognized that I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to make on the same man here. And so when we look at this, he says in verse 23, he says, the steps of a good man, or what? Ordered by the Lord. Let's stop there. In other words, a good man is prepared by God. His steps, the word steps means that his starts, his stops, the stages that he might go through. He might go through some changes. He might go through some situations, but he realizes that God is still in control. This is a good man. He realizes that God is preparing me for something greater. He realizes that God is keeping and preparing me, and step by step, he says that my steps are what? Ordered by the Lord. Every step I take, I know God has something to do with it. I know God has something to do with it. I know that God makes sure that my foot is secure. Amen. He says that his steps are what? Ordered. The word ordered here means to be established. It means to be ordained by God. And so when I look at what Abraham did, when I look at how the Bible says that he took Hagar and he lost focus for a moment and he had a son with Hagar, I look at that and I say, man, that seemed like a big mistake, because when Isaac was born, Ishmael teased him. Ishmael went after him, and he was much older than him, and Sarah said, you got to put her and him out. And then God tells Abraham, listen to your wife. Good man. And he puts them out. But later on, we find out if it had not been for his mistake with Ishmael, Joseph would have never ended up in Egypt, and he would never become second in command. And their whole family and the whole tribe of Israel wouldn't have ever been preserved through Egypt if it hadn't been for the step that he took to the tent of Hagar. Amen. So his steps were what? Ordered. David messed up, and God continued to refer to Bathsheba as the right wife of Uriah, even though David had taken her and married her at this time. She had a son named Solomon, and we would not have the Proverbs if it wasn't for David's mistake. Oh, y'all don't hear me. His steps were what? Ordered by the Lord. Y'all with me this morning? Maybe this don't interest you, but me it does. He's prepared by God. He said he not only is his steps ordered, but he says that he delighted. In other words, he delighted in the way. He delighted in his way. Now, some people say that when he said he delighted in the way, God looks at him and he gets joy about how his life is going. He gets joy about the good man's steps that he taken. But when we look at this, truly look at it, it says that he delighted. The good man is satisfied with what God has got him into. He's satisfied with every step that God has him take. He's satisfied with every stop that God has him make. He's satisfied with every stage that he might go through to become what God wants him to be. Amen. He says that he delighted. He take pleasure in the ways of God. Notice what else. He delighted in his way. In other words, he won't complain about whatever God is doing. He's satisfied with the will of God. Y'all help me today. He said, Paul said, I'm content in whatever state I am in. If I'm hungry, if I'm full, whatever it is, I have learned to be content. Paul said, I'm being a good man. Whatever God has me into, whatever ways God have me to go, however hard it gets in my life, I am still happy to be here because I am being ordered by God. My steps are in his will. And sometimes that means I have a high step and sometimes a low step. Sometimes I'm doing good. Sometimes I don't feel so good. Sometimes I have great things happening, and then sometimes ain't nothing happening, but I'm still all right because I'm content with what God is doing in my life, and I don't have to get afraid when it don't seem like anything's happening. I don't have to get anxious, but I just need to wait on the Lord because he knows what he's doing. God knows best what I need in my life. We try to tell God how to bless us. We try to tell God when to bless us. We try to tell God what to bless us with. But God knows what we need. God knows how to do anything we need. He knows how to do it better than we can think of how to do it. And so we need, as good men, as good women of God, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but what? Acknowledge him in all our ways, and he'll direct our path. So I'm content. I'm satisfied because I delight in what God's ways are. I'm not fighting with what God said, but I'm trying to fulfill what God said. I wish I had somebody. We got to stop fighting with what God said. If God said it, stop fighting with it. Stop trying to figure out and find a way to do it yourself. If God say don't do something, if God say it's wrong, then we need to say, you know what, God, I'm wrong if it's wrong, and I need to change what I'm doing. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, we need to be honest with ourselves. A good man can be honest and say, you know what, I messed up. Be like David. Lord, purge me with hyssop. Wash me that I might be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. He says that then I can teach transgressors your ways and sinners can be converted. I want to be used by you. So whatever you got to do, God, to get me right now, I got to be used by you. So whatever it takes, get me right, God. A good man said, it's me standing in the need. It ain't always somebody else's fault. It's me. What can I do? Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. A good man. Anybody want to be a good man? Let's look at verse number 24, because I think y'all ready to go already. A good man says that though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord uphold him with his what? Hand. He says not only does God prepare a good man, but a good man is protected by God. He's prepared by God, but he's protected by God. And when we look at it, he says, though he what? Fall. Oh, we thought a good man never have a bad day. A good man can't have a bad day because you're a good man. But a good man has plenty of bad days, but he don't talk about it all the time. I've had some good days. Y'all, come on now. You had some hills to climb, had some weary days, and some sleepless nights. But when I look around, a good man looks around and think things over. He can say that all of his good days outweigh his bad days, and a good man say, I won't complain. A good man is protected by God. He falls. The Bible even tells us that a just man falleth what? 7 times, but he gets back up. Anybody know a man that decided that I'm not going to wallow in sin, I'm not going to wallow in shame, I'm not going to wallow in disappointment, I'm not going to wallow in failure and fault, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back and ask God to help me to do it right the next time. Do I have any witnesses? A good man can be successful because the Bible says that a good man, a blessed man, in Psalm number 1, he said, a blessed man don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand it in the way of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Lord, whatever it is you say, that's what I delight in. I don't delight in what Steve Harvey says, Oprah said, but I delight, I don't even care what Dr. Phil has to say, but what I delight in is what the Lord has to say. Good man go to church because he want to hear what God has to say. Come on and say amen. He said, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, that whenever he has a fall, people can't look at him and talk about it because God picks him right on back up. You don't have to call people to help you, good men, because God picks you up. Oh, God wipes you off when people write you off. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, he's protected by God. He falls, but he's not utter. And the reason why is because he upholds him with his hand. God picks him right back up. God upholds him. God supports him. God, Lord have mercy. God supports him. God picks him up. It's kind of like, I always use this example. It's kind of like walking with a baby that's just learning to walk. When that baby trips because you got that baby hand, that baby don't ever hit the ground. You just drag them right on, put them right back on their feet. You know how that baby trip? You just pick them back up and put them right back on their feet. And that's what God does. I tripped, but God put me right back on my feet. I had a stumble, but God didn't let me fall. I had some things happen, but that's all right because God was on my side and he picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet in an established or solid ground, an established place. Come on and say, man. God will pick him up. Not only will God pick us up, but God will protect us. Amen. He says that in verse 24, he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. In other words, with God's strength, he supports him. With God's spirit, he moves him. With God's hand, he lifts him. I wish I had somebody. If God has given you, and that word hand means not only the hand, but the wrist. It means that you can have the wrist. In other words, you can hold on to God. I wish I had somebody. God's wrists are so strong that not only will God lift you, but God will turn you. I wish I had somebody. And so when we think about a good man, sometimes not only does he need to be lifted, but he sometimes need to be turned. And so God knows just how to turn us. God knows how to support us. God knows how to protect us. He upholds us with his hand. God has a hand of protection. And when God's hand of protection is on you, no matter what comes your way, come hell or high water, God's hand is upon you. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, you can truly and honestly say that no weapon formed against you shall prosper when you're a good man. You can truly honestly say that any afflictions that come upon me, the Lord will deliver me from them all. You can truly say the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the enemies came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell, because God was right there with me. David said in Psalm 23, he said that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is right there with me. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. We need to know that God comforts us. He keeps us. He protects us. He's on our side. He said that if we got to look at that, all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Do you know that a good man has a purpose? Do you know that a good man has a call according to Romans 8? We need to understand that. We need to know that a good man can say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Do I have any good men in the house? God is looking for a few good men that's not afraid to praise him. He's looking for a few good men that's not afraid to pray to him. He's looking for a few good men that's not afraid to witness for him and to worship him. Come on and say amen here. Short message. I'm almost done. Third verse of the text that we've chosen, verse 25, says, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He says, I've been young, and I wasn't all that good of a man, but God made me good. He said, I've been young. David been young. He said, I made some mistakes in my young life. He said, but throughout the mistakes, God allowed me to remain so I can become an old man. David said, I made a mistake with Bathsheba, but I also did some good things. Don't listen. If you're a good man, you just keep focusing on the good things you did. David didn't focus on Bathsheba. He focused on Goliath. He focused on leading the people. He focused on the victories that he had. As a young man, David had to live in caves. He had to live in the wilderness. As a young man, he went with men that were full of depression, full of discontent, full of debt, people who didn't have no kind of hope. And David joined himself with them, and he gave them hope. David said, as a young man, my family was stolen from me, but I went and prayed, and God told me I could recover all of this as a young man. Oh yeah, David said, as a young man, my brothers talked about me. They despised me and told me, you just got some stuff in your heart. You need to get away from here. My brothers rejected me. And David said, as a young man, I was not even able to become king of all Israel. I had to just be king of Judah because people didn't want no part with me as a young man. But I know God was still with me. Just because people don't accept you, just because people don't approve you, don't mean that God is not with you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Just because some folks don't enjoy what you have done in life and people can't celebrate you, that does not mean that you're not a good man. All that means is that I got people who can't recognize a good man. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah, we need to be able to recognize them, not for their faults, not for their failures, but for their ability to continue, for them being competent enough to stay with it, to be able to overcome. I wish I had somebody. I need to be content, and I need to continue doing what God wants me to do. This is what marks me as a good man, is because I won't stop at trouble. I won't stop at failure. But I get back up and say, Lord, help me to get over this. Help me to get through this. And as I go through, I say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Y'all not with me this morning? It's all right to say amen in here. He said, not only will God prepare you, but God protect you, and then God will provide for you. God provides for the young and the old good men. Amen. God, he says that I've been young and now I'm old, but I haven't seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of trouble. I've seen a lot of people, but I do know that God is right there with me. He said, I've been young and I'm old. I've been through some stuff that youngsters go through. I did the same things that young people do, but God was right there. Y'all don't hear me. I've been some places that I shouldn't have been. I've said some things that I shouldn't have said. Oh, but I did some other things that I should have did, and they were good. And I realized if it hadn't been for God with me, I wouldn't have made it through. Come on and say, man. Oh, yeah. He said, God provided a way. God provided an understanding. God provided a path. The Bible said that he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need to understand a good man understands that God is a provider. He don't look to other people. He said, God, it's me and you. The Lord will provide. Come here, Abraham. The Bible said that Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. His son said, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the sacrifice. Abraham said, the Lord will provide. I wish I had somebody here. And then he came off that mountain calling him Jehovah Jireh. You see, a good man understands who Jehovah Jireh is. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh will provide when you need it. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh, that whenever you need the money, when your money is funny and your change is strange, that God will be with you to help you through it all. I'm not telling you that your pockets are going to be full all the time, but what I'm telling you is that if your heart is full of love and you're full of the Holy Ghost, then God will show you a way. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for him, but it's been revealed by his Spirit. Come on and say amen. God will provide. God has good plans for us. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. But not only will God provide for the good man, but the Bible said that God will provide for his children. He said, I have been young and now I am old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken. I haven't experienced God's leaving me. I haven't experienced God letting me down. I haven't experienced God disappointing me. He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. In other words, the seed, the children of the good men. The children of a good man don't have to beg, because God not only gives to the man, but he gives to the man's seed. And that's why I'm here to let you know that I'm not going to be like everybody else and say good men finish last. The Bible said that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And so I'm doing good, and I might not ever reap the benefit, but I'm looking out for my children. Every seed I sow, I might not get back a harvest, but I know my children will get it. Come on and shout yes. A good man can buy a field. A good man can plant a seed, but the harvest may go to his children. And all I'm trying to say today is stop being so selfish and start looking at the greater good. Start looking at it and realizing that the things I'm doing today is not really for me, but it's for my children and my children's children. Do you know that God will bless all generations because you are a good man? That's why he kept reminding them, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I wish I had somebody here that realized that he is our father's God. And I thank God for my grandfather. I thank God for my grandmothers who thought enough of me that they would help people in the community, because one of these days, who knows what I'm going to need, who knows what helping hand I'm going to need. But I'm so glad that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Do you know who the greatest man is? I'm talking about somebody now who's not just a good man, but he was a great man. He came through 39 prophets and 40 in two generations. He took up an old rugged cross. He said that I lay my life down. No man take my life, but I lay it down for my friends. He said, greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. I wish I had somebody. They called him good master. He said, ain't nobody good but God. Come on and shout yes here. But when I think about this good man, he took my sin and yours, went up on a rugged cross. They put nails in his hands and feet, but they forgot what the good man said. He said, if I be lifted up, a good man can draw people. I wish I had somebody. He said, I draw all men unto me. A good man was so good that he looked down from the cross and saw his mother crying, but he didn't leave his mama by herself. He told John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. I wish I had somebody. See, a good man takes care of the family while he does the will of God. I wish I had somebody. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sound like a good man. A good man told another man who had been a bad man. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. See, a good man is not a selfish man. Come on and shout yes here. But let me tell you about this good man. This good man died. He died. He gave up the ghost so that I can live. Do I have any witness? But the Bible says he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But let me tell you about death. See, for a good man, death can't hold a good man. The grave can't hold a good man. Because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Do I have a witness here? Do anybody know him? Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Somebody say yes. I'm talking about Jesus. My grandmother's lily of the valley. My grandfather's bright morning star. I'm talking about Jesus. Abel's vindicator. Moses' burning bush. Come on and shout yes. Samson's bomb. Solomon's wisdom. Do I have anybody? Come on and say yes. He was Jeremiah's fire shut up in his bones. Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. Come on and shout yes. He was David's battle axe in the time of the battle. Say yes. But he's my savior. He's your redeemer. And I'm like Job. I know my redeemer lives. Somebody say yes. If you're redeemed of the Lord, you ought to say so. I wish I had some people that say I'm redeemed, and I'm so glad that he justified me. That makes me good. It's not what I did, but it's what God did that makes me good. I'm good because God is all good. The word word good is a derivative from God. In other words, I'm a godly man. Even though I make some mistakes, but I still look to God. I may have some faults, but I still look to God. I may have some failures, but I still look to God. Do I have anybody here that say, I look to God for all my problems? I look to God for all my troubles. I still look to God. I look to the hills, for whence cometh my help. For my help come from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Won't God help you? Won't God change you? Won't God fix you? Won't God forgive you? Won't God make you whole? Won't God straighten your life? Won't God keep you